Next witness is Councillor Ludlow.
Sorry, just before you start, do we have the number?
No, there was no summary. That was only a page and a half, we thought.
Yeah, no, that's good. If we could cope without a summary of that, we can indeed.
Well, I can still summarise further if you wish.
No, that's absolutely fine.
Thank you. My name's Darren James Ludlow. I'm the Navigator City Councillor and the current Chair of the Finance and Policy Committee. I will summarise. Obviously, I come from the Council that the Chair referred to as being between a rock and a hard place at the moment. If I start at paragraph 4, the Invercargill City Council is committed to ongoing maintenance and improvement of the three water services and has developed asset management plans which have been approved by the Auditor General. And that's to make sure that communities' needs continue to be met, including retaining the current water take to sustain existing requirements and allow for potential growth targeted by SWORDS. In regard to the stormwater and sewage activities, the AMP seek to reduce the impact of these services on the natural environment by treating sewage to a high standard and by protecting stormwater from contamination. Having a look at the long-term plan provisions, with sewage activity, we're currently spending $6.4 million a year, and of that, there's $2.1 million in asset renewal, and that gently increases over the years up to 2022. Similarly for stormwater, 3.3 per annum with a renewal component of 1.8 million. Now that increases substantially up to 2.6 million by 2022. Together, the stormwater and sewage budgets account for about 17% of the total city rate draw, and this percentage will rise further as renewal programs ramp up. Now these are very substantial financial commitments for the city, and they also meet the National Policy Statement on Freshwater Management by incrementally improving freshwater quality. The proposed plan is of considerable concern to the Invercargill City Council, and that stormwater discharges will become non-compliant activities because they contain some sewage, and even though it's significantly diluted. Now in doing so, the proposed plan fails to recognise the historic development of the drainage systems and is likely to lead to a step change in required quality of stormwater, which is unlikely to be achievable. The 2013 MFE report, the Invercargill case study, estimated the cost of treatment devices on Invercargill stormwater discharges to freshwater streams at $1,800 per rateable property per year over the 25-year estimated life of those devices. So in 2013 terms, that's essentially a 100% increase in our rate draw. Even though the report acknowledges that these devices will actually have little impact on the stormwater contaminants that are of most concern, it was still enthusiastically received by Environment Southland. I consider that position shows a disregard for the financial implications the proposed plan has on urban ratepayers and the efforts that the City Council have already made and will continue to make to improve the quality of stormwater discharges. It's my opinion that the objectives of the proposed plan can be better met by providing for reticulated stormwater and sewage networks as discretionary activities, as has been highlighted this morning. It would provide for the proposed plan to provide for such discharges and enable these consents to be applied for, focusing on the merits of them and the appropriate conditions.
And again, Councillor, can I just ask you to highlight for the committee what your feeling was on behalf of the Invercargill City Council when the stormwater consents were recommended to be refused because they wouldn't pass the gateway test. What does that mean to you?
Would it be fair to say that we were significantly disappointed? It presents a significant hurdle. And I guess in the general context of the controversial subject that is water at the moment, it seems to be a constantly shifting target, which when we're in the business of not only producing 10-year long-term plans but 30-year asset management plans makes it damn hard to achieve. Do we want to get there? Yes. Do we want to get there with incremental improvements? Yes. Having the potential for this to be simply non-complying it's a significant hurdle. And as the Chair said earlier on, we are in between a rock and a hard place through this process. But know, this is our position.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Christian Lloyd, start again.
Just a general question, Darren. You're in a position in ICC, you have industries within your boundary that actually contribute to your, I think, your wastewater, stormwater, and sewage as well. Are you happy with the standards that come out of those industries into your system?
Yes.
And are you putting the same vigour onto those discharges as you are being worked and through the consent process yourselves to improve?
Yes, it's a constant test. As we and Environment Southland find any breaches, we treat that seriously because it's not only an impact on the environment but an impact on our consent as well.
And my question to Tracy, I just repeat again, and I say that because the MPS of fresh water and the subsequent documents and swimmability discussion that is happening in the timeframes means that everybody has to do their bit. Does that, are you able to, does your program align with the goals and objectives that's basically coming out of central government and responding through other local government agencies?
Broadly, Lloyd, I'd say yes, we do, although the whole issue of swimmability in rivers in Southland through certain parts of the year is a challenge. We don't necessarily like to go for a swim in the middle of winter.
I think the swimmability is a code for water quality.
Yep.
So I think that's widely understood, but it's socially being.
It's a measure which most people can understand, and yes, that is something we aspire to help achieve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No questions.
No questions.
Oh, nice.
Well, yes, thanks, Darren. I wanted to ask you a question about the water take from the Ereti River and the restrictions in the plan in relation to water takes. Do you see those as being a major impediment into the future?
Possibly. And I'll answer from a financial perspective because that's what I'm here presenting. Collectively, the TAs and the Regional Council have worked together on the Regional Development Project, which has an ambition of increasing the population by a significant amount, and as a part of that, increasing economic activity. Some of that may require additional take. How much, we don't know yet. That's as far as I could answer, sorry.
So does the Council have any plans? I know you hear or read about it in the newspaper occasionally about water from elsewhere, but do you have any, does the council have any definite plans and to anticipate further restrictions maybe due to climate change with longer periods of dry weather and a potential increase in population?
Apart from continuing to look for that additional water source, councillor, no.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
And no further questions from me, thank you.
Thank you.